Hey guys, welcome back to Life's Fertile Questions podcast. Today, Alyssa and I are interviewing our lifelong friend, Kit. We've known her since we were really young, and we are not currently living in the same state, so we are going to reach her over the phone, and she has an amazing story to tell us about her fertility journey and her little miracle girl.
Hi, I'm Kit. I'm 27. I have been married, 7 years and a few months. And I have one daughter who just turned 2 at the beginning of this year. And my husband is Elaine. And I used to work at youth centers and daycares and stuff, but since we've moved, the job that I had lined up didn't close down because COVID happened right after that. So I moved and didn't have a job, and I recently started as a nanny again. But I don't know. Right now, I'm just kind of in this in-between spot where I'm trying to figure out if I want to go to school and do something else or if I want to continue on the path that I'm on already. I have a dog and a cat.
Don't you have rats?
Oh, I have rats. I do. Sorry, they're down in my game room, my game piano room. That's like my, I have this whole, like, you know, 20 by 20 to myself, and it has my PlayStation, my piano, and my rats, and it's like my happy place. I can close the door and Ellie can't get in there. It's so nice. No, I have 2 rats, Salt and Pepper, and I love playing with them and stuff. But since I've gotten the piano, I haven't let them out so much because I don't want them to go behind the piano. Because, like, if they're stubborn, they won't come to me. And I'm not going to sit there and, like, wait for 2 hours for them to decide that they want to go back in their cage.
The rats been with you since Hawaii?
No, I got them for my birthday this last year.
Okay.
I was going through a hard time. I was going on at like a downward spiral of my depression at that point. So I was just like, I need something for myself. We couldn't afford a piano. We couldn't. Ellie was just kind of being a tyrant because she, you know, was turning into a 2-year-old. And I was like, okay, I need to be me. I need to be a me person. So I got rats and I was like having so much fun. I haven't had one since high school. And I loved him in high school. And so I was just like, this is going to be fun. And I was training them and hanging out.
They're like smart, right? They're not like hamsters. They're like super smart rats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can teach them tricks and stuff. Like the one in high school, we taught him how to bowl.
What? And, with his nose or something?
I know, it's kind of random. That's the whole thing, is that they're really smart and you can teach them tricks and stuff. We just hang out and they climb all over me while I'm playing games and stuff, which I know is kind of gross to some people, but they're pretty clean and they're just friendly.
So 7 years married, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm hoping I got the date right, 2014 to 2021. Yeah, that's 7 years.
Yeah.
I'll be 7.
Are you guys going to do anything for 7? So I think it's, is it 1, 5?
We're going to be in training.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I know, but every year he's had training, he's been deployed, or something.
So married 7 years, did you guys want kids right away, or was that a
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We really did. Immediately, we decided that we weren't going to be on birth control because we decided that when we got married, because we were together for 2 years before we got married, and so we were like, we want kids. You're gonna go to basic training here in a few months. So the moment we get married, we're not gonna be on birth control. And we're not going to try, but we're not going to prevent.
Right.
Because I was just like, if you're in boot camp, then I'm not going to sit here and push for these next 2 months to get pregnant. And I mean, I started on the period the day of my wedding. So I was like, okay, here we go. 2 weeks from now, I'm getting knocked up. Right? You're just like, it's happening. This is all on track, guys. It's going to be a honeymoon baby. But that didn't work. And it didn't happen. And nothing happened. He went to boot camp. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I can't imagine him being in boot camp and pregnant at the same time. That would be even harder. And then after that, he went to training. So he was gone the first year. I think the first year of our marriage, we were together for like 2 months.
Wow.
The entire time. Yeah. Right after we got married. And it was funny, because I remember going to like a friend's wedding after that. They're like, well, you should be a pro by now. Like, you should know everything. And I'm just like, I've been with my husband for 2 months. You've been with your wife longer than I have. And you've only been married like 3 months. So there was that. And then right after training, we got orders to move to Hawaii. And I was really excited. I was like, okay, this is going to be great. This is somewhere pretty, somewhere far away. So it can just be us and we can like learn to be a couple and not just him and me separate. So I was just excited to go. And we still weren't on birth control or anything. We still were trying. And it didn't happen for the longest. And I, in Fresno, before we moved, I was in Fresno and I went to the doctor and I was like, hey, so I've been, I don't have periods. I think that I'm pregnant. And then I have these four, like, what's going on? And he's like, well, you know, it could very well just be like a chemical pregnancy. You could just be pregnant and then lose it like within the first few weeks. So it doesn't.
We missed, I guess, a part of what you were saying. Did you say you had 4 positive pregnancy tests?
No, I would feel like I was pregnant and then be late on my period and then have a period that would last like 45 days.
Oh, okay.
So it would just, and my doctor thought that it was just a whole bunch of miscarriages. And I was just like, I don't know if that's really true. Because, like, even though pregnancy and period symptoms are so similar, that's so frustrating. It's just frustrating because you're sitting there and you're trying and you're focused on your body. And you're like, oh, man, I'm feeling sick. I'm feeling this and this. And you're like, was cramping and I'm feeling like tenderness and you're like, oh, I'm pregnant. And then your period starts and you're like, nope, that was just PMSing. I'm so excited. And so the doctor, and then he's like, okay, so let's just try Clomid.
Yeah.
He's like, let's just try some Clomid. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. And I was doing all of this while Isaiah was in Florida doing training. And I was expecting to go and move with him, to live with him, because he was going to be there for 6 to 9 months. And I was like, okay, I'll get this and I'll go move with you and you can live with me. And we'll try to get working on this baby thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hurt my knee. I broke my knee. I busted it and I wasn't moving anywhere. And so me being on the Clomid, like, was useless. It didn't do anything. Because I couldn't move out with him. We were just separated. I always forget about that because it all just happened at once. There's so much that happened.
Physical therapy and recovering while your husband is gone and...
It is a year of me not walking, learning how to walk, having surgery, not walking, and then relearning how to walk. So that's, I'm over here, and I remember teaching Ellie, and I was like, oh, don't worry, I've been through this. I know what you're feeling right now. It was bad. Knees aren't supposed to bend that way, let me tell you. They're not supposed to bend forward. Or backwards, I guess. So there's just all of that. And I was just hoping, at that point, my focus wasn't on the baby so much anymore, as I need to be healthy enough to move whenever we get PCS ordered. And so we did, and we went to Hawaii. And I was excited, and my doctor's like, okay, just keep your brace with you, and, you know, just keep exercising and working on it. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. Peace. Can't wait to go. So we go. We're like, okay, this is our first time, like, really together for a long period of time. Let's try again. Let's, like, make a real effort. And so I would, I downloaded a few apps that would tell me when my period would come, but, of course, they weren't accurate at all. And I would just go a few months without seeing my period and then go on to, again, like, my month-long periods. It was the worst. It was always Christmas time. The whole month of December, I was on my period. It was the worst. And so I went to the doctor, and it was the military doctor, and I just feel like they never had time for me. I just felt like I was trying to convince him that something was wrong with me. I was like, I'm just trying to have a kid. And they always ask, they won't do anything to help you if your husband's been deployed or to train left within the last year, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're just like, well, you're not technically infertile because your husband's been gone, so you haven't been able to try the entire time. So I just sat there. But for me, they would be like, well, okay, it's because you're overweight, or it's because you're depressed. Like, let's fix your depression. Let's fix your overweight. That's why you're not getting pregnant. And I'm just like, okay, but, like, these things are wrong. I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm overweight because of what was happening. Like, because I had these issues in high school, and even though I was overweight then, it was not nearly what it was in Hawaii, you know? So I was still pretty normal in high school, and I still had these issues. I've had these as long as I remember.
And I would say having a period for an entire month without it stopping, like, that's not normal. Like, that's something that you would want to fix no matter what. That, like, it's like,
you could be the skinniest person in the world, and that's not normal.
Like, you could literally, that's just horrible.
They're like, well, you're anemic. And I'm like, I wonder why. So it was just a whole bunch of them, like, doing everything. They just, for like 3 years, I just felt like they were throwing medication at me after medication after medication, trying to treat everything. They're like, well, go on birth control. That will even out your periods. And I'm like, okay, but that defeats the purpose of what I'm trying to do. And they're like, well, you're not going to get pregnant if you don't have normal periods. And I'm like, fine, I'll go on birth control. It was just 3 years of them playing with my medication. And, like, I knew that that was happening, but I forgot that how bad it was until we were moving from Hawaii and I saw all the, like, 50 pill bottles that I just never threw away over the last 5 years. And I'm just sitting there looking at it, and I'm just like, huh, that's interesting. So they were just trying to treat the symptoms and not treat the problem is what they kept doing. They kept treating the symptoms, and I was just so frustrated. I would go in, and I would cry, and they would spend 5 minutes with me, prescribe me something, and then walk out. And I'm just like, okay, I get you're busy. I get that you have, like, a whole fleet of men deploying right now. Like, I get that I may not be your highest priority right now, but just make me feel like you're trying to help me.
Yeah.
And that's just all they were doing, is treating the symptom. And so then finally he hadn't been deployed for like 2 years. And he had been with me for 2 years. So I was like, okay, we've been trying. Help me out. And they're like, okay, we'll send you over to a specialist. We'll get some tests done. And this was like 2017. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was 2017, and they're like, well, get some tests done. And I'm like, okay, sounds great. And so then they go, and they do a scan. They do a scan on my stomach. And they're like, so, like, this is something interesting. And I'm like, yeah. They're like, so, ovaries are normally like the size of golf balls and a little smaller. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, yours is the size of a softball.
Oh, and I'm like, wow.
What does that mean? They're like, so you have PCOS, and that's how big they've gotten after all the cysts have grown in them instead of eggs. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And I remember they were so upset that day when they were doing the scans, because they're, you know, the whole baby process, there's no form of privacy.
Oh, no, I'm over
like,
it.
There's another man. He's like, there's another man touching you. And I'm just like, there's a doctor. And he's like, oh, I know. And I was like, do you need to leave the room? And he's like, I'm not paying attention. I'm looking at the ground. But it was just, that was the first time that they, like, kind of took me seriously. Like, oh, you're not missing your periods just because you're overweight. You're not, you know, over here just because you're anxious all the time and stuff. And I'm like, okay, thank you for helping me figure that out.
So did they send you home with different medication, or what did they have you do from that point?
Well, from that point, they continue to put me on birth control. Because they're like, we need to regulate your periods and figure this out. And so they put me on birth control, and they did some tests on Isaiah. They tried to look at his sperm count and all that. And he was normal. I mean, it was slightly below average, but he was pretty much normal. And so all I could think was, oh, this is my fault. This is me. My body is not reacting like how it's supposed to. I'm all screwy from all different places. And because they figured this out, they referred me to in like beginning of 2018, end of 2017, beginning of 2018, they referred me to a specialist. And the specialist is like, we can't help you. I'm like, what do you mean you can't help me? And they're like, well, the insurance won't cover it. And I'm like, okay, then I'll pay for it. And I was like, no, like, you're at high risk because you're overweight. And they don't want you getting pregnant because you're overweight, and they don't want to help you because you being overweight adds to the issues. And I'm like, but I'm overweight, I'm almost positive, because of this. Not, I think that me gaining weight is a symptom of this. I've looked it up. I've looked at PCOS. I've tried all this. We tried the insulin reducing or insulin sensitivity medication, right? We've tried like a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. It was again in that period where doctors were like, here, just take this. And I'm like, I need help. Like, my husband's good. I'm obviously not. And they're like, okay, well, if you can just prove that you can lose weight, then I'll try to get it going through insurance and stuff like that. And I'm just like, what? I was like, you're really not going to help me because of this. And she's like, just come back in a few weeks or in a few months. And if you've lost 30 pounds in a few months or something like that, I can't remember. I just remember sitting there being like, what? Then we will start some treatment.
That's insane.
For me right now, I guess. So I'm just going to figure this out myself, because I felt so let down by medical help. And we got word that he had to be deployed in a few months. And I'm just like, oh, no. Like, this sucks. This sucks so bad. I got a new job. I was like, I'm going to get a job. I got a job at Starbucks, because I didn't want to be home alone all the time. This was his second deployment. And the first one was hard because I never left the house. Mm-hmm. So this one I was like, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to just focus on that. I'm not going to focus on anything else. And hang out with you until you leave. And so started working at Starbucks about a month or two before he left. And I was just tired all the time. I was like just chugging shots. If a shot went bad, I was like, oh, no, you're throwing it down the sink. I'm going to just take a shot of espresso. Don't worry about me. I remember calling him on the way home from work, and I was like, hey, I am so hungry, I could throw up right now, like, what do you want from the store? And he was like, I don't want anything. I'm like, okay, I'm bringing home half the Jack in Box menu anyway. Like, I'm doing all this. And it was just, it felt good to have my own thing and to focus on my own thing and be making my own money so I could treat myself, you know. It wasn't as stressful. It took off the stress of, you know, living on a military income. Yeah. In one of the most expensive places on earth, you know.
Yeah.
So I was just focused on that, focused on working, focused on getting ready for this deployment, and hating my job, kind of, because management was terrible. And I was just like, okay. I cried all the time. I was so frustrated. I cried whenever, like, something went wrong. I was frustrated because the day that he was leaving, I had to go drop him off and then go to a shift at Starbucks, and no one would trade me. Because it was a Saturday. Nobody wanted a Saturday shift. And they're like, I don't want to trade. And I was like, I'm dropping my husband off to be deployed. Can someone please take my shift? And they're like, oh, I don't want to. And I was just like, fine, whatever. So I went there and dropped him off, went to work, hated everyone that day. I was so quiet.
I'm surprised you didn't call out sick. I would have been like, they can't do anything, whatever, I'm sick, I'm not coming in, good luck.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, I wanted to be petty and stick it to them and show them that I was being mean. And I didn't want to be stuck at home. I didn't want to be stuck at home crying. I was like, maybe it's better this way. I was stuck on a big old, maybe this is the way things are supposed to work. Maybe I'll go to work so that I'm not home alone and just thinking about how I'm home alone. Because he wouldn't make it to Korea for another, you know, several hours, 10 hours. And I was like, I'm just going to be sitting at home waiting for him to call me or message me saying he made it safe. So,
yeah.
I went, earned money, extended my shift because I was so set, and I was like, okay, whatever. And it was like another month that I was working there, and I was just sick all the time and anxious and crying, and I was like, I think I'm not doing too well on this deployment. You last time was easier, this time is harder. I think I just need to quit because I think work is just adding stress. And he's just like, well, I mean, that's up to you if you want to quit, but I'd rather you not, so that you're not sitting at home all day alone. And I'm like, I'm so upset all the time, and I want to throw up because of how much I hate work and because of how much I miss you and stuff. And I was just, it was like a week. There was a week where I just couldn't keep any meals down, and I just had heartburn all the time, and I just felt all over crappy. I felt so bad for like a week straight, and I was just like, okay, I need to put in my 2 weeks. And I was sitting there, and I went home after crying in the parking lot and calling my mom and crying in the parking lot to her. And I went home, and I was sitting there, and I'm like, I haven't had a period for a while. And so I went in, and I found this box of, you know, like 50 pregnancy tests. The little strips. That's like 4 years old. Because I got it when we were first married. So I went and I took a test. And I'm sitting there. And taking so many tests at this point. You know, like month after month. You know, even day after day you're taking tests. But I've taken so many tests that I was just sitting there. And I was like, took a test, went, grabbed some water, changed my clothes, came back, and it had two lines. And I just remembered just, like, not being able to stand anymore. And I, like, slid to the ground of the bathroom, just sitting there thinking, and I'm like, no way. There's no way. It's got to be broken, right? It's expired. Yeah. It's giving me whatever answer it wants. Like, there's no way. And I'm sitting there, and I'm sobbing. Oh, my gosh. Sorry. I'm just sobbing. And I'm like, okay, hold up. And I take another test, and that one's positive, too. And I call my mom, my mom doesn't answer, and I call my sister because they all live together. They're all, like, hanging out every once in a while. I call my sister, and I'm like, is mom around? She's like, no, I think she's at so-and-so's house. So I'm like, okay. And they're like, are you okay? And I'm like, I don't know. So I call my sister. And I'm like, is mom there? And they're like, yeah, there you go. And I'm like, crying so hard. Mom's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? She's like, is Isaiah alive? Are you fine? Are you okay? And I'm just like, I don't know if I'm okay. She's like, what are you? She's like, you're really worrying me. And I'm like, there's two lines. And she's like, what are you talking about? There's two lines. I took a test and there's two lines. And she just starts sobbing. And then she just cried so hard on the phone. Oh my gosh. And I was too, and we just sat there crying on the phone for the next, like, 15 minutes. And I'm like, it's old? Is it expired? Did it go bad? Like, what is it? She's like, I don't know. I don't think that they give positive or false positives. If anything, it would give you a false negative. And I'm like, what do I do? And she's like, go to the store and get a new one. Three or four. And then he's like, I can't go anywhere right now. I'm a mess. They're not going to sell me anything. And she's like, okay, just wait and go to the store and go get one. And I'm like, okay. So I wait and I go get a new test, a fancy test, not the little strip. And it says positive too. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, what do I do? I wasn't planning this. I wasn't thinking this. I was told by my doctors that they can't help me. It's been 5 years. I mean, it was our anniversary. It was our 5-year anniversary and of me not having a baby and not trying. 5 years of me telling myself that, like, it's me and I'm never going to have a kid. I convinced myself that adoption was okay.
Yeah.
That's just. And my husband wasn't even there.
Yeah, the timing. That must have been really crazy for you.
It was something. It was overwhelming for sure. And I just remember sitting there and just being like, I didn't tell Isaiah at first. I was like, I need to make sure. I need to, like, wait for a little bit. So I waited for, like, 3-4 weeks, and then I went and took another test, and it was positive again, and I'm like, okay. And so I just told Isaiah, he was in Korea, and we're on the call one day, and I'm like, hey, you know, I have something to show you, and all the tests, even the few tests that I took, the first ones that I took, were still sitting there on my bathroom counter. It's like, I think they were still there until I moved. I still don't believe it. I know I have a baby in my house.
I still have mine, yeah. I still have mine in a drawer, so.
So I went and I flipped the camera around and I showed him and he's like, I don't know what that is. And I'm like, well, it's showing us that we're going to have a kid. And he's just like, wait a second. And I have a screenshot of his face when he realized that I was showing him my positive pregnancy test. And he's just laying in bed and he's crying and overwhelmed. And I'm like, oh, this is how I felt 4 months ago. And it was just crazy to me that all this happened while he was deployed and while I wasn't trying. The first time I wasn't trying. And they figure it's because I was, that the birth control did regulate my periods. And so I went off of them because he was leaving for deployment. And I was like, I don't need this if I'm not doing anything. Mm-hmm. And so I went off of it. And it was a few weeks after I went off that I ovulated. And right before he left that I got pregnant. And I made an appointment with an OBGYN and a midwife. And I was like, they're like, okay, so how far along are you? And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, I went off my birth control the end of April, but I haven't had a period since January. And they're like, so how far along are you? And I'm like, I don't know. It's more than 6 weeks, because that's how long my husband's been gone. And they're like, okay. And they're like, so what are you here for? And I'm like, I think we should figure out if I'm actually pregnant.
What do you mean, like, what am I here for? Like,
I just have no clue what to tell them for the whole registration process. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if this is real. And I was like, they're like, are you sure you're pregnant? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm sure. And so I went, got a midwife, and then I remember sitting there, and she took my blood and all of that stuff and checked me out and did a, you know, physical and stuff. And she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I just don't believe that I'm pregnant. I don't know if it's true or not. And I'm over here, I'm waiting for you to be like, no, you're not really pregnant. I was like, I've been waiting 5 years for this. And she's like, okay, well, you know, the blood test is going to tell us for sure. And I'm like, okay. And so I went home, and then that weekend I got an email from her, and she's like, well, here's your test results. It's 100% that you're pregnant. Congratulations. And I'm just like, she's like, hopefully this makes you believe it, and you have a good weekend knowing this. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh.
They didn't do, so like, sweet. An ultrasound or anything?
They can't do an ultrasound until you're, like, 7 or 8 weeks.
But, I mean, like, if she didn't, she waited 6 weeks, if her husband was gone 6 weeks, what? I'm surprised they didn't just do an ultrasound right then and there and be like, yeah, let's see how far along you are.
Well, that was just the initial appointment and stuff to get me a doctor. It wasn't my actual doctor's appointment. And then the midwife was just taking my blood and stuff. And I went in, like, a few weeks later for an ultrasound. And I was only, like, 8 weeks. So it must have been right when he left.
Wow.
Or during that, like, dinner cruise that we had kind of a thing. And I'm over here, and I'm like, hopefully, I don't know. I was taking a lot of, like, Starbucks shots, man. Like, espresso for the first few weeks of my...
You must have been dropping inks like crazy or something. Just...
I thought I was exhausted because of my job, and I thought that, like... I was like, oh, man.
Well, that's amazing.
Hopefully it doesn't... Mm. It was crazy. It was 5 years of, like, so much frustration and nothing really getting done and me getting brushed under the rug and then me kind of being like, just it happening, which I know I hated people saying that. It'll happen in its own time. Like, 5 years of waiting for it to happen in its own time feels ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, I only gave myself 2 more years before I was going to start looking into adoption. I was going to, like... I gave myself until I was 28 to get pregnant, and then I would start looking into adoption. Because at that point, that would have been 6, 7, 8 years of trying, 9 years of trying, and I was just like, I need to...
Yeah.
Something. It was just so much. I blamed myself for so long. Every time I got a negative test, it just made me feel doomed. I was just like, it's... And all along, all around me, I have 7 siblings. 6 siblings or 7, that's totally... I have 6 siblings. And there is... well, Ellie's number 14. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 babies born. 5, 6. There's 6 babies born in that time frame. And I'm sitting here and I'm just like... from nieces and nephews, and I was so happy every time my sibling got pregnant. I would go and I would help them when they gave birth. I was just excited for them, but it was so hard.
Yeah.
To sit there and hold them, to hold my niece, and I love them so much. I remember holding my niece and just thinking, you are so great. I love you so much. I can't even imagine how much I would love my own kid. Compared to this, like, because this is overwhelming for me. And I really hope that I get the opportunity to love my own kid.
Yeah.
So just all around me, my mom's getting grandchildren, and I'm just over here And people are like, they're living in Hawaii, they're not trying to have kids, they're just enjoying their life. And people are like, it's a blessing. It's, you can enjoy being an adult and this and that. And I'm just over here and I was just, oh yeah, funny. And then go home and cry.
Yeah. I hate when it's like people that are close to you and they're like, and they have kids and they're like, oh, you should just be happy you don't have any. Like, you having kids is so hard. Like, you should just, I'm so jealous of you that you don't have any kids. And it's like, well, you really have no right to say that. That to me is like, it's like the biggest punch in the gut. It's like, well,
you're not supposed me. To be supporting me. Yeah. And yeah.
Especially if they know you're trying and then they still tell you that, that's just like the worst feeling ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, or they're like, just enjoy your time without it. Like, yeah, you can go and do whatever you want. And I'm just like, oh, I want to have a kid. That's what I want to go do.
Yeah. So you...
I just have people assuming that just because I was in Hawaii that I was just trying to live it up, you know, kid-free life.
Yeah. So you had Ellie. Did you guys ever talk about a second kid? Or when you were pregnant, were you just trying to enjoy the pregnancy and live in the moment? Or was that always in the back of your head, like...
My pregnancy, I was alone for the majority of it. Isaiah got home about 6 weeks before Ellie was born. And it was frustrating because I couldn't... The hospital policy was that you can't videotape or anything during procedures, and an ultrasound is a procedure. So even though I was getting frequent ultrasounds, I could only send Isaiah pictures afterwards. I was trying to take a few videos because it was cool. You could, like... see her kicking, and then if they jiggled my belly with the ultrasound thing, you could see her hair waving in there. And I was just like, this is so cool, Isaiah would love to see this. And it just was hard because it wasn't until I was like 8 months pregnant that he went and got like an ultrasound with me, you know. And I got to see all of that, and he's like, wow, that's her moving. So I was just trying to, like, survive on my own and deal with it on my own. And then he got home. And then I was just like, yeah, let's... He got home. We went to the Marine Corps ball. And I hated it. I was, like, at this weird point where I was, like, obviously pregnant. But still, it just looked like I was, like... I was uncomfortable at that point. I think I was, like, 30 weeks. 30, maybe more than that. I was probably more than that. In November.
Yeah, you're in the home stretch. You don't want to leave weeks. Home.
And I had, like, swollen feet. They didn't even fit in my shoes. And I was just sitting there. I was like, I want to dance. I want to have fun. My hips hurt. My feet are swollen. I was like, you're finally home. I want to go to the ball.
Yeah.
Because princess. So we just were... So I enjoyed it by myself, but I just wish that I had enjoyed it with Isaiah. And we did talk about it. We talked about, I was like, I don't think I want to wait. I want to try immediately. I mean, it took us 5 years the first time. So let's try it now. Like, go and immediately start trying. Because if it takes another 5 years, then, you know, we're ahead of the curve. Our kid won't be 10, you know?
Yeah.
So we decided to do that, and then my birth story is kind of fun. Ended up in a C-section, an emergency C-section. And so my midwife is like, you can't get pregnant right away. All the doctors kept asking me, what birth control are you going to be on when you leave? And I'm like, none. And they're like, because they have to ask you. Before they discharge you, they have to ask, like, what birth control are you going to be on? What are your plans? This and that. And I'm just like, no birth control. What are you talking about? But my midwife is like, okay, so the reason why you need to be on it is because you have, like, your uterus was just cut open, and it cannot take the strain of growing another baby right now. I'm just like, okay, but I want it. She's just like, okay, but you gotta wait. But like, let's look at my past. It took me this long to get pregnant. So like, me going on birth control is, you know, and they're like, please. And I'm like, fine. I will. So we planned on it right away, but then I had to wait a year.
So yeah, have you like gone to the doctor or anything and been like, hey, like,
let's get this going?
Yeah.
I haven't been to the doctor at all since we've been in Maryland because everything shut down. And I was just kind of like, and doctor's appointments were kind of hard to come by. And essential, they had to be like essential appointments and stuff.
Yeah.
So we've at least had a few checkup appointments, but that's only with one parent. You know, it's just like a lot of. So once things start go back to normal, and I'll go in and be like, hey, so this is the issues that I've had before. Well, it's crazy because all the depression and anxiety and stuff that I had before, it just all went away when I was pregnant. And I'm not saying it's because I, you know, got what I wanted. I just think that all of this has been related to my hormones and to the PCOS and everything. Like, all of it. Because I got pregnant and my body was so happy I had, after the first trimester, I had so much energy, I had so much happiness, and I was, like, excited and didn't have as many bad days, if any bad days. And after I had the baby, I was good. I didn't have postpartum until about 6 months afterward and stuff. And so I was just, and my body was actually, I had, like, a normal period, like 2 months after Ellie, and then every month after that. It was only in the recent, like the last 7 or 8 months that my periods have started getting wonky again. So it's just, my body just is doing whatever it wants.
I feel like COVID messed up a lot of people's cycles and everything. Like, I feel like we're really influenced by, like, our surroundings and, like, having all that stress from just the craziness that was the world, like, just totally messed up a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. I believe that for sure.
Well, and what, we're here a year later, and I'm able to get doctor's appointments, but I'm not able to get done what I want, so it's still not even back to normal a year later, so it's... it's crazy.
Yeah. That's crazy. So you can get doctor's appointments, but you can't get the treatments that you want.
Yeah. It's very limited because they don't know how it reacts with COVID. So that's going to be another lifetime of figuring out how it reacts with this thing.
It's just kind of like, well, duh. Like, we need to move on with our lives.
Yeah. So
it's so hard. I haven't even tried to get a doctor's appointment. I'm like, I kind of feel like it's limited. So I'm like, I'm saving my goodwill for the times that Ellie really needs an appointment or I really need an appointment. I don't want to waste all of my effort trying to get just a checkup if Ellie like suddenly breaks her leg next week, you know?
Yeah.
I forgot how good I felt during pregnancy until, like, one of my sisters was like, oh, man, this is hard for me. The babies always make it hard. And I'm like, oh, no, my body loves it. Yeah. I would be pregnant all the time if I could because I'm so great.
I've heard that the extra pregnancy hormones, like, are, like, they put you back up to what people are normally. And so usually that is, like, a big sign that, like, you really do have a hormone imbalance that needs to be, like, addressed.
Yeah. Well, this is one thing I didn't know, but my doctor told me that if you have failing organs or just body parts that are lacking, that your baby, when it's being created, will make up for those parts. Oh. So I think that's just, I mean, because your body...
So it, like, helped with your gallbladder issue?
Yeah, for a little bit.
Oh. Wow.
I mean, I don't know how much of that is truth, but I don't know. I think it's totally possible. I mean, your body's creating a human. Why can't it help fix some of the problems while it's doing that?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Well, if you think about, like, all the things your placenta does, right, it changes for the needs of your baby. And, like, your breast milk changes for the needs of the baby and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, how can it, what's to stop it from going the other way? Yeah.
Amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. If only I took a test today, negative.
Oh. It's early. It's early.
I told myself, so I was looking back at the last 2 months, and it was like I was getting my period on day DPO 13.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, that's in 3 more days. So if I get my period in 3 more days, I get my period. But if I don't, then I'll test again. I think I'm at that point. Yeah. I've now officially used that whole box of 50 pregnancy tests. So they're all gone.
Wow.
You say that so happy, but we all know.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that is all of the boxes that I, like, you don't count all of the expensive ones that I've bought.
Oh, yeah.
Not even, being like, oh, well, these are the cheap ones, so I need to buy an expensive one because I can't trust the cheap ones. Like, that's where my brain goes. I'm like, it's got to be wrong.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you're like, I had symptoms. I had all the symptoms.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, all the ones that are also related to a period.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was a cruel joke on somebody's part to have period and pregnancy symptoms be so similar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if you, like, woke up and, like, your, like, brain was like, you're pregnant. And then you just knew. Mm-hmm.
I know there are some people who know really early. They can tell the difference in their body. And I'm like, my body's so out of whack. I wouldn't be able to tell if, like, my limb fell off. You know?
I think they just look back and be like, oh, yeah, those period symptoms, they were actually pregnancy. There is no way.
Yeah. Or they're just like, they get pregnant on their first month. So, of course, they start seeing symptoms and they're like, I'm pregnant.
Yep.
And then, of course, they are because it's their first month of trying. You don't go through the mind bend of month after month after month of negative. And then if you're like us and you have long cycles, well, then you're like, oh, I'm 2 weeks late. Like, I must be pregnant. The tests must be wrong. But, like, you're not really 2 weeks late. Your body's just
2 weeks dumb. I don't know.
I was going to say your body's just dumb.
It just got lost somewhere along the way.
Right.
I took that shortcut that turned out to, like, be longer way.
Well, do you want to leave us? You want to leave us with any words of wisdom or, I don't know, uplifting thoughts for?
I don't know if I have any words of wisdom because I kind of feel, for the longest, I just felt like it was like I had no right. I didn't have to go through a whole bunch of procedures. I struggled with infertility and I struggled without getting pregnant for several years, but I just felt so lucky that it just kind of happened. And I feel like it was just a fluke, not a fluke, but it was just, it happened the way it was supposed to happen. And I think it will happen the way it's supposed to happen again in the future. And that's just so hard to think of. It's so hard to think of on your bad days and on the days when you wipe and there is blood. And you take the test and there's only one line. But it's, I don't know. It's just, it's hard. It's so hard and it's so heartbreaking. And it's gonna happen. And if it doesn't, then you kind of learn. You learn how to handle it. I had already accepted the fact that I was going to be adopting. I was already getting excited for adopting. I was asking my sister and my brother and his wife because they've adopted. And I was like, okay, so, like, let me figure this out. Let me figure out the process because that's where I was already going. I was already trying to do it. But you know that if it does happen, then it's going to be so great and so wonderful, and you're going to love that baby so much. And it's, you worked really hard to get that baby. And everyone will love it because it's yours and because it took so long to come and it was wanted and by all those around you. That's the thing that I didn't realize that everyone around me also was rooting so hard for me to get pregnant. But they all saw my struggles and they all were taking it upon themselves, grieving with me.
Yeah.
So you have a support system even if you don't always see it. And I think that's what this podcast is, right? It's also another support system added on to that. I had so many friends. Alyssa would message me. I know she would just she'd be like, hey, how's it going? And we would sit there and we would cry a little bit about how we're not pregnant yet and frequently. Yeah. And it happens when it's meant to, I think. Whether you expect or try, whether it's something that you tried for and struggled to get, or whether it's something that came almost naturally, practically naturally. The infertility, I'm so scared. I'm so scared of going through that again. Yeah. I've been telling myself if Ellie's the only thing that I get, then I'm beyond blessed because I didn't think that I would even get her. But I just have to tell myself, you're not going to have any more kids, so that when I do have kids, it's going to be just as great as when I found out I was had Ellie.
Would you guys adopt? Like if you, sorry, the phone, there's a delay. Would you guys adopt if you guys, like if you did get like to 30 and you don't have another baby, or do you think you're like, you'll just be like, okay, I'm just happy to have Ellie.
I think that if our lives are at the point where, you know, we've been trying and we feel that adoption is what we need to do, then that's what we can do. It all kind of, I guess, depends on where things are at that point. That's still, what, 3 years away? That's yeah. Still 3 years away, and we've been in a pandemic for the half of my child's life, you know? Who knows what's going to happen in 3 years?
Yeah,
I think that we will. I don't think adoption is off the table. I think just because we have our own biological kid doesn't mean that we won't adopt anymore. My surprise pregnancy has taught me that life will do whatever it wants. God will do whatever he wants and whatever you need.
We love you, Kit.
We love you. Such an amazing story. I only cried 3 times.
I know, we're over here, like, sucking up my tears and stuff.
Oh, I cried too. It was nice to remember when I found out that I was pregnant, that all those feelings and everything, and the disbelief and the, the please, someone at some point is going to tell me that I'm wrong. I was sitting there feeling her kick and stuff, and I'm like, nope, someone's going to take it away. It's not true.
Thanks so much for being open and willing to share.
Mm-hmm. This was fun. I had a good time, and it was nice talking to you guys and catching up.
Well, the crazy thing is, I think that with infertility, everyone has a very similar story. I mean, the outcome and the length might be different, but everything you said, I know Alyssa and I have gone through ourselves, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice to hear other people's stories because it makes you feel not quite as alone. And then also like, yes, I'm not crazy. I think it's very therapeutic to tell your story. Like when we sat down and like wrote ours and then said it, like we cried and I felt better afterwards. You felt better, right?
Like, yeah, I felt better.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I guess that can be my parting words right there. Okay, I remember. Fight for what you believe your body is. Like, you know your body. You know what it's doing. Don't let doctors throw you around. I mean, obviously be respectful and listen, but also fight for what you know about yourself. Like, I knew that my weight wasn't the reason I wasn't getting pregnant. I'm sure it had some part, but I think it was a symptom of the overall thing. I mean, my ovaries are the size of softballs, and that's not normal. So, like, you know your body and trust your body and trust your instincts and stuff.